Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe and I'm here with Jane.
Hi, how you going?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you.
And people will probably be familiar with Jane. She's in our Far and Fast coaching group and she's a member of Run Club, because everyone who does Far and Fast coaching is a member of Run Club, and she's also in our community group, and she just ran the Great Ocean Road Half Marathon with her daughter Caitlin. And so I thought, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you kind of get familiar with people in and around the community group, but you don't always get to hear their story. So I thought I'd start with what got you into running in the first place.
Oh wow, that was about I think I'm into my 6th year of running. I never, when I was growing up, I used to play a bit of netball and stuff like that, but I was never real sporty. I didn't sort of enjoy that sort of thing, and to be honest, I actually never thought I could really run.
Yeah.
So my first run was I felt like I was going to die. But how I really got into it was through work. We had someone send out an email about Run Melbourne, and at the time we were raising money for some scholarships that we were looking at doing, and I had a client that was interested in the scholarships, and we were, you know, trying to get putting an application in and trying to get one for her. So I thought that it was an appropriate sort of thing for me to support that. So I thought, well, okay, I'll just sign up for it. So I did. And after I signed up for it, I remember sort of thinking, oh, okay, now I've got to train for this, and I'm going to run. So at the time I was doing personal training, and I actually spoke to my trainer and mentioned to her about it. And I did a lot of training on treadmills and stuff like that. So when I first did the first run that I actually did for Melbourne, I had really only trained on treadmills. I hadn't done much on the road. And I remember lining up and thinking, okay, well, I'm going to do this. It was freezing cold and my teeth were chattering, and it was a bit of a scary concept. But I did it, and I will never ever forget the feeling of the first run where I literally thought I was going to die. My chest was hurting, every part of my body was hurting, and I'm thinking, okay, 6Ks, but how am I going to do 6Ks? But I did.
And
I
Melbourne,
did.
Because like Run Melbourne, that's in July, isn't it? June or July?
Yes, yeah,
so
July.
It's middle of winter in Melbourne.
Yeah. I remember taking my jackets off and thinking, oh, I really don't want to take it off, but I have to. And so I had to put it into my bag and everything. Little did I know that you now can, you know, donate clothes along the way. So you can just wear something old and just wear it till you start.
Yeah.
And just throw it on the side, and then they take it up for charity. So, you know, previous ones since then I have done that. So, you know, because it does take a little while sometimes at the start.
Yeah.
By the time all the waves go and everything. So, and of course I would have been in a slow wave too, so that was even longer.
Josh registered,
yeah,
for the he was registering for Gold Coast yesterday, and he was registering, you know, for in between, you know, sort of like 2.5 and 3 hours or something, and he finished registering and he was like, oh, it says start zone A, and I'm like, I'd check on that, because that kind of seems like where the elite people might be running. And he's like, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's not the time I put in. I said, I just check up on it. And he looked at it like for a 1:12 to 1:30 start. And I'm like, you could be trampled alive. And so luckily he could change it online to like see,
oh, wow,
or whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a bit scary.
It is.
But yeah, so then after I had I ran Melbourne, I had my husband's cousin send me a message and congratulate me and all that, and she said, oh, well, you've done that one, so next one that's coming up is Run Ballarat. And at the time I thought, well, I've done one, I can prove to myself that I can run, oh yeah, that's it, okay, no worries, I won't do any more. But then I thought about it and thought, well, actually I did do one.
Yeah.
And You know, despite it all, I did quite enjoy it, even though the last 500 metres, again, it was like, when is this ever going to finish? I thought they were lying to me. But so then I thought about it a bit more and thought, well, okay, so I decided, well, why not? So I did, I just registered for it. And I really enjoyed that one, being local and everything too.
Yeah, local runs are really great, aren't
It
they?
was very, really awesome. So you're seeing people that you know, and just to get behind that whole community was really, really nice. And to be running on the local streets and all that, I can remember running down Sturt Street and thinking, oh, this is pretty amazing, really. You know, running on this road that I drive up and down all the time, and but actually being out there and running you know, doing something that not everybody does. So
Yeah.
I did that one, and then I had the bug. And then I was like, okay, so where's the next one? So I spent many days just, you know, Googling, searching, looking, and, you know, I did run Geelong, and then it just, yeah, continued on. And a lot of these ones I've done every year since I've started, because again, they're just a lot to support the local community stuff. And it's
What's your
just a really,
favorite distance?
my favorite distance, I would never thought I'd say this, but it's actually a half.
It
Yeah.
seems I have a really distinct memory because I started on the treadmill too. So I would just be running, and I'd usually run for an hour. Like, not all of it would be running. Like, I would do walk run for an hour, and I'd probably get about 8Ks done in that time. And over time, I sort of like I built up to, like maybe probably 12 was the most I ever did on the treadmill, because you kind of lose your mind after a while. And I had this when it was the first time I'd done 12, and I thought, I cannot believe that people run like double that for a half marathon, and that is something I will never ever do in a million years. And you just have to eat your words
Yeah,
on
you
that a
do, don't
bit, because
you?
the half marathon when you start is very different to, like a half marathon, several years later.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Exactly. I find now that the 5K I really don't like, because I do park run usually every week, and as much as I really love that community side of it, but the actual distance I find is really quite hard, because it takes me nearly 5Ks to warm up, particularly in the colder weather. So I find that the longer distance for me is much better. I just enjoy it a lot more.
Yeah, and I think you kind of feel like that little bit of pressure when it's something, when there's something that's 5Ks to go faster, and to run a fast 5Ks, that's a pretty uncomfortable pace to hold. Whereas, like you can't go that fast in a half marathon, so
No.
there's a kind of safety zone there.
Exactly. But I find it's just really nice, that longer time out there too. That's my thinking time as well. So particularly when I'm training, and that, like, I train out on the at home where I live, it's the state forest. So I go up and all the rail trails around there, and it's just really, really nice just to have that time just
Yeah. So
out by myself.
what would a typical training week look like for you?
So at the moment, looking at next week, you've put in for me some runner's yoga, which I'm really quite looking forward to doing that, because that's good for my strengthening and my stretching and stuff like that. Tuesdays is always speed work, which is a bit of a love-hate relationship. At the end of it, I love it, but during it, I'm like, oh my God, Zoe, what the hell? But that's okay. I do it because I know it actually helps me, and it has helped me. Like, my running's improved a lot. So, and it is to do with a lot of that speed stuff. And the reason I don't like it is because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it sort of hurts in a way. It's uncomfortable. You lose your breath, and it just feels, I actually at times feel quite unco with it, because I feel like I'm not in control of my body, because I'm trying to go faster and stuff like that. So that's the sort of the real reason why I don't really, it's a love-hate relationship.
I also think, like, when I look at like my training plan and there's like a speed session, I think that sometimes it kind of psychs me out a bit. Like, I look at it and go, oh, that looks really hard. And and then that build up to it is almost worse than the actual thing, because then it's over relatively quickly, and I'm like, oh, that wasn't so
Oh,
bad.
Totally. Actually, the last couple of speed works that I've done it at the gym on the treadmill, and I've actually found it to be a little bit easier because I can actually put in the pace that I want to go. And of course, the treadmill's keeping going, and it actually pushes me a little bit more. When I do it through my watch, sometimes I can't always stick to that pace because sometimes I get confused at what it's beeping at me for, and I'm, forever sort of just looking at my watch. So the last year, a couple of times I've found that doing the speed stuff on the treadmill has actually been better.
Yeah, and
So
it's also good because it's sort of, like when you do, higher intensity stuff, that means higher impact. And if you do it on the treadmill, you're kind of, it's lower impact. So, it's sort of, it's a way of getting like the speed stuff done without necessarily, like hammering your body the way you might
yeah,
do on the road.
that's right. Yeah, exactly. And it also makes me a little bit more accountable because, Nick will say to me, "Oh, yeah, you're at the gym today. That's great." So that keeps me accountable too. So, and for me, accountability is a big thing. And that's why I like the coaching side of stuff because I could do all this myself. I know I could, but if I wrote it myself, I wouldn't follow it. But
Yeah.
because you've written it for me, it's like, okay, Zoe said this is what I need to do. So I actually get in and I do it. And I might have to jiggle it around some days because of whatever's going on within the week and that. But pretty much I stick to it because I feel that, okay, well, she's done this for me, so I need to do it. So it's almost like someone telling me that I've got to do it, but in a nice way.
I'm the same, like I've written myself training plans in the past, and it's so much easier for me to wheedle my way out of them than if it's something written by someone else. Like if somebody else has written it, it's like, well, I've got to do that. Whereas if I've written it, I'm kind of like, oh, well, it would be okay if I did slightly less than that. Or, it's just one of those mental things that it is just so much easier to do as you're told.
Yeah, exactly. So I go from speed work to Wednesdays is now going to be personal training. So Nick's going to help me with that. Thursdays is generally an easy run. Fridays, what do I do Fridays? Oh, gym as well. So today I just went to the gym and sometimes I'll do a class or today I did a combination of upper and lower from Run Club and that was good. Saturdays is park run and then I go to Pilates and then Sundays is always long run day. So that's pretty much my week of how my week looks. And then in between that, I try to foam roll. If I've got any niggly bits, use the foam roller, use the ball for my foot if my foot's a little bit niggly. And yeah, that's sort of a lot of not too much stretching because I'm now is it hyper where you're over flexible? Yes, that's me. So I have to be careful that I don't overstretch. So there's some stretches that I really love, and now Nick said to me, "No, you're not allowed to do that anymore because you enjoy it too much, and it's actually hindering what we're trying to do." So we've had to change around some of my stretches. So I can't actually do the pigeon stretch anymore, which was really annoying because he said it actually is making it worse, like in my glutes. So I've actually got to do. It's sort of like the sumo stance, and then you put your arms like on your legs and sort of like that prayer position, and that's to stretch the inner thighs, and it'll stretch my glutes as well. So, yeah. So, which is a bit of a thing, but anyway,
It's
I've got to
nice
do
to
what I've got to.
have that guidance though,
Oh,
because
exactly.
you wouldn't know otherwise.
No, and he twigged because I kept on saying to him, "I really like this stretch, Nick." And he's like, "Oh, she likes it too much. What's going on there?" So yeah, that's what we decided because he's where I go for my massages as well, so he gets to see that side of it as well. So the niggles and all that. So yeah.
Yeah, I get a bit of, I'm sort of hypermobile, which sort of means that like the muscles are really tight, but the I think their ligaments are lax
are loose.
And so, you know, yeah, you've just got to be sort of aware of not going, you know, too far with the stretching. I was reading a thing the other day. They were saying, you know, like that classic sort of measure of flexibility where you, you know, bend over to try to touch your toes. Like if you can't touch your toes, that's an issue. Touching your toes is sort of like a perfect balance, but if you can put your hand down on the floor, that's too much flexibility. I thought, oh, that's interesting, because I always thought, you know, well, more has to be better, but you know,
yeah, not. Same here. Yeah, I was a bit like you, but no, we were wrong.
So the most recent run that you did was down at the Great Ocean Road, and for people who haven't been down there before, it's a really quite a unique run because you're going point to point. Like you're not doing a loop or you're not doing an out and back, and it's one of the few times that they would actually close Great Ocean Road, and you get to see so much of the scenery. So was this the second time you've done it, or have you done it before?
This is my second time. When I did it last year, I hated it, absolutely hated it. And the reason was I had a really good lead up to it. I trained really hard, everything went really well through my training, but for some reason on the day, and I think mainly some of it I think was to do with the weather because it was a pretty horrendous day. Mm. But things just fell apart right from pretty much the word go. I think I got to the first hill and it was like, oh, my God, this is just not working. Things, I feel my head was all over the place. I had negative thoughts in my head. I just wasn't enjoying it. And I did it. There was times where I had to walk a bit and there were times where I felt like I wanted to pull out. Mm. But I thought to myself, if I pull out, I'm going to give myself even more hard of a hard time. So, no, just keep going along. And there were a couple of people. There was a lady and a guy, and the lady was struggling. And I can remember they were sort of going to and fro. So I'd go past them and they'd go past me. And we sort of got into a bit of a conversation. And that actually helped because I could actually sort of express how I was feeling, but it gave me a bit more drive to sort of continue on, because there were certain parts of it where it's quite lonely. Mm. There's not a lot of people when you're sort of out of the pack and everything. It is quite lonely. And because, again, the weather was just terrible, I think I focused on that and it just – everything just – yeah, it just fell apart. Mm. And I can remember when I got to coming down towards the end of the where you could see the finish sign, by then it was raining and sort of hail, sort of light hail and
light hail. That's classic.
Yeah, Melbourne. Remember seeing that and crying and thinking, oh my God, thank God I'm nearly there. And the photos at the end of the race are terrible because I was bawling my eyes out. And I remember getting back through there thinking, oh well, I finished that, and then looking for Caitlin. And when I saw Caitlin, I actually saw my friend Nick that is training me and his partner. I never knew that they were actually coming down on the day, but they made a special trip to come down and see me finish. So,
so
I was blubbering at Caitlin. I was blubbering at Nick and Bree. And it was just really, really emotional. But when I reflect back on it, I did it in 2 hours 40, and I didn't actually have a real plan of time, but always in the back of my mind, I have a slight little, okay, well, if I can do it in 2 hours 30, that'd be really good. This is what I thought. Mm. So then when I reflected and I thought, well, considering how it fell apart, I actually did really well.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of journaling on it and then decided, well, actually, I'm going to give it another crack because I thought, well, I need to. So I did on the weekend, and it was the best run I've had. It was so good. I felt strong. I felt happy. The weather this year was beautiful, which, you know, probably paid a little bit, but Caitlin was running with me as well, and that was really special to have her running with me. And I said to her that I would run with her the whole way, which I pretty much did. I ended up doing 25 Ks because I went back for her a couple of times because I promised her I'd get her over the line, and because she had the cold. She was struggling a bit, And I just wanted to make sure she got over the line. There was a bit just before the end of it, and she said, "Just keep going, Mum." I think she was getting a little bit shitty with me, and she was feeling a bit sore, and just go. So I did, and probably the last K, I really pushed really, really hard. And I think I did it with the stopping, because we had to stop for the first toilet stop, and that took us about 15 minutes because the queues were just ridiculous. I think it took me 3 hours, 14 minutes to do it. So, yeah, what this one wasn't a timed one. This was more about just getting Caitlin over the line. So I was really pleased with it. It was really good. So
sometimes when you sort of don't then have the time in mind, then it's a lot easier to enjoy it and not have it be sort of something that decides whether it's a good run or a bad run, you know?
Yeah. I think we can be our own worst enemy at times. I know I can, because I put a lot of pressure on myself. Whereas, everybody else, like all my friends, a lot of my closest friends out of my running group, like, are like, "Oh my God, you go out there for that long? You crazy person." And I'm like, "Yeah, I just do that. It's fun." And they're like, "Fun? Yeah, it's fun." But they're always really encouraging, and they'll post on my Facebook page and my Instagram page and always comment and put beautiful things up for me, and yeah, which is really lovely. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and that, because it is it's not, most half marathons are 21.10 something or other, and Gore is 23. I remember running it, and that last 2Ks were like, "This is never gonna end."
Yep.
I mean, at least at that point, like, you're going, sort of going downhill for a flat finish, like you do most of the hills at the beginning. But but yeah, it's sort of one of those things. Like, I did sign up for I think it was 5.5K run, which is a sort of a weird distance. And then on the day they said, "We've had to change the course." So it's like 5.7. And, I just paced it for 5. And then once I finished the 5, like, the last 700 meters was quite slow, because it's just like, at that point I'm like, "Yeah, I'm done now."
Yeah.
So what's the next thing on your horizon in terms of events? What else have you got going on this year?
Well, I've got for June, I have got the long weekend in June is Forest, the half trail run.
Yep.
And then two weeks later, we've got Surf Coast, where you're coming to.
Which is very exciting.
It's really exciting. I'm really, really looking forward to that. So, yeah, it's going to be really, really good to have a lot of other op movers there as well, to be able to meet and hang out with you a bit more, which is going to be really awesome. And Carla, so, and Caitlin will be there as well. So, yeah, and that's one I'm really, really looking forward to. And then I'm not going to have anything in until October, when I do the Melbourne Marathon. So, after Surf Coast, it'll officially be marathon training.
Well, that's exciting. And are you planning on running that with Caitlin, or are you? Is that going to be more of a solo?
With the Melbourne?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's going to be solo. So when I first got into running, I had this thing in my head that if I could do, what my ultimate goal was to be able to do a full marathon before I turned 50. And I'll be 49 in a couple of weeks. So I've decided this year I want to do it, because next year I want to do a bigger one for my 50th. So next year my big goal is 50 for 50. So that's what I'm going to look at next year.
That sounds awesome. And I think I love the Melbourne Marathon, particularly, for a first one, because I think the course is so fantastic. And, it's not like a lot of people will pick Gold Coast because it's so flat. And so they'll say that's a good one to do, but its flatness it's almost intimidatingly flat, because when you go up a little bit of an incline, you get to go down as well, and so there are natural relief points on the Melbourne course, even though it's a relatively flat one, and you get to see all of these iconic parts of Melbourne, and you know, instead of it being kind of like out and back, it's more of a loop, and you get to finish at the MCG, and it's all very
Yeah,
exciting.
which is awesome.
So yes, and where, what's your Instagram name so people can follow you on Instagram?
So, it's Jane Powell.
All one word.
Yep, all one word.
Cool. So yeah, if anyone is listening to this and you would like to ask Jane any questions at all, you can pop onto her Instagram, or you can just have a chat to her in the community group, and we will probably, well, realistically, I'll probably record as many people as possible when I'm down on the Surf Coast. So
Damn good.
I'm sure that we will be doing this again, and it just sounds like such an exciting year with so many great runs, that I'm sure that everyone will get to follow along with what you're up to along the way.
That'd be good. I'll be posting. Again, that's my accountability too, is probably some people looking and think, oh God, here she goes posting again. But if I don't, it's like, okay, well, I sort of haven't done it. So if I put it out there, and whether it's a good run or a bad run, it still gets posted. So,
Yeah, I mean, when I was watching that Breaking 2 thing, and they had sort of like a bit of a backstory with a lot of the guys, and one of the guys, they were saying that he has recorded every workout he's ever done for the last
wow.
14 years. Like, so not ever done, but everything that he's done for the last 14 years. And I thought that is so cool, you know, just to be, I think that there's a lot of value in being able to, you know, sort of look back on it and see the progress. And even with something like, say, you with Great Ocean Road, of being able to kind of look back on what you wrote about it last year, and being,
Yep.
because it's easy sometimes if you have a bad run to kind of, you know, not real to kind of have that fade over time. It's a bit like how you forget how awful pregnancy is.
Yeah, that's yeah,
And
exactly.
then if you have a, you know, you can kind of look back on it and go, no, this year was like a huge improvement on that experience, or whatever it is, you know. Like, a lot of times I will think, oh, you know, I'm not sure, like, where my, I think I've lost some fitness or whatever. And then I'll look back and I'll go, no, I'm, you know, sort of downplaying where I am currently. It's all, you know, going well. But that's only because I, you know, sort of have Strava and I post everything. And so I'm constantly getting reminders in Time Hop of, you know, things
Yeah,
that
what
I've
you've
done.
done. Yeah. I've found that, excuse me, I've done a lot of journaling too, and I find that that's really helpful as well because, again, like you say, you can reflect back on it from previous years and that. But I also find that it just helps me sort of to get my head around stuff too. And okay, so what do I need to improve? What am I actually wanting to get out of it as well? So, yeah, so I've started writing a book from when I first started running, and the idea of doing it is so that my kids can have it. But also, so I've got a bit of history. So as I get older, when the memory sort of starts to fade, you've got that bit of history there, and it's nice to sort of look back on it and see, you know, how far you've come and to be proud of it too.
Yeah, and sometimes, like, I've been, for the whole life challenge, I don't normally do journaling, but that's one of the things that we're doing this week. And what I've found, it's really interesting about it, is what I think that I think or feel is often actually quite different to what it is when I write it down. Like, I always have a lot more insight about it once I'm actually writing it down.
Liking
And
it,
you know, it is a very interesting experiment.
yeah, because things just start to flow from the paper. Unless it's just like, oh, where did that come from?
Exactly.
But it's obviously true if it's coming out, it's true. So
Yeah.
it's about acknowledging that too, whether we like what we're either writing or we're not. It's about acknowledging it and then, you know, moving on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
No worries, it's been awesome.
And I will see you down at the Surf Coast, and in between, we
Yes.
will see you on Facebook.
You will indeed. Sounds good, Zoe.
Thank you, Jane, for joining us on the podcast. I always love hearing people's running stories, especially their beginning stories. I love a good origin story because I think that it's really easy to assume that like people basically came out of the womb running. But in fact, most of us had a very, very different beginning to that. And it sort of reminds me of, I remember when I first my first half marathon in Sydney, I was so nervous about going because I thought I would be the only fat person running a half marathon. And I got there and there were all of these women who looked like me, and it was the biggest eye-opener because I had just not sort of conceived of it before. I assumed, you know, that everyone who ran looked a certain way, and then I rocked up and people were running half marathon, running the marathon, all like every possible body shape and size you can imagine. And it really sort of changed how I looked at running and how I looked at myself too. But I won't get too sidetracked on that because I could talk about that all day. Last week I put out my actual time that I was going for at the Gold Coast, and I did that mostly to make sure that I actually went out and did it, really. that's the time in and of itself is not important. How I think about the time is important, and that might seem like a really small distinction, but it's sort of like ages ago when I had the longest I'd ever run had been 30 kilometers, and I just had this weird thing about running more than that. Like it was like somewhere in between the 30 and 32 kilometers I was gonna, you know, horribly fail or something. And there's no sort of logic to it, but you just get these hang-ups on certain numbers. And for me, I definitely had a hang-up about the 149 because it just seemed impossible to go faster than that, and the more I thought about it as impossible, the more impossible it was. And part of that, I think, was sort of I had in that race really pushed my body to the limit, and there was an element of it where my body was like, yeah, we don't want to go back there. That was too hard. And instead of sort of thinking about the race as an effort-based thing, I had gotten locked onto it as a time-based thing. It's like, it's not that running at absolute max capacity hurts, running at 149 pace hurts. So I had realized at a certain point that it was just a weird block I had about that time, and it was not really related to anything else. So I decided, well, you know, like I could go for 148, which was just under, but I thought I'd go for 147, you know, 2 minutes is solid, leaves me a bit of time in there for anything that might not go quite to plan on the day. But, you know, I think the best thing that I did on the day was the warm-up. You're probably very sick of me talking about warm-ups. But not actually, and even I felt, I felt kind of silly because, you know, there's 21 kilometres to run and, like, people are there, like, walking to the start line, and I'm, like, running from the hotel and I've got my, you know, like, my drop bag on my back. It's not the most comfortable run that I've ever done. And I did. I felt kind of silly about it. But I knew that I would be in much better shape if I warmed up. So I was like, I'm going to commit to it, even if I feel a little bit silly doing it. And I think it really was, even aside from the physical benefits of warming up, just psychologically, it was the best thing I could have done. Because I had all, you know, it was, you know, sort of like 3 or 4 kilometres was the warm-up, and that's heaps of time to kind of settle in. And I think there was also benefit of like really being on my own in that time. Like when you actually get to the start line, there are so many people and it can be really overwhelming and all of that sort of stuff. But having that time just to myself beforehand, and even it wasn't nighttime, but the sun was not up yet, so everything was still dark and the Gold Coast is really pretty, and I was just able to run along and really get my head together. And I got to the end of that warm-up and I thought, I had this real moment of clarity about that's why I run, for how I feel, and whatever happens after that at the race, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, that was just going to be cake because it's not why I run, and sort of like that sense of myself, I guess, that I have from running is why I run. And I had this real kind of clear moment when I was warming up, and it just put me in this great headspace to then kind of go, okay, and now I'm going to compete. And the other good thing, of course, was that even though everyone else was freezing, I was in a singlet and quite warm because I just spent like the last 30 minutes running. So if you are ever thinking about warming up before a race, I definitely suggest you do it, because yeah, I think that my run would have been a lot worse if I hadn't warmed up. So, and then I got to the start line, made sure I was at the front of my starting section so I wasn't going to have to kind of duck and weave too much, which, to be honest, I think that was the thing that I was most nervous about, because I remember having run it before and just spent so much time like trying to get in front of people and found it really stressful. And so that's really what I was most nervous about starting. And then we started and I was obviously in the right place because I didn't have to duck and weave at all, and I was able to just go at the pace that I wanted to go at. And the scary thing about negative splits is that, like, so I had a very precise pacing strategy. So the first 3Ks I wanted to do at 5:14 pace, and it was kind of scary because, to be honest, the first six didn't feel great. You know, I was just sort of struggling, not so much with where I was at the time, but how far I had to go. And I kept kind of like, I kept getting pulled out of the moment, and I kept having to sort of bring myself back and go, no, we're fine. Legs are fine. I feel a little bit tight because somebody went to CrossFit and did, you know, like paused hang snatches and and did some awful things to their hamstrings in the process. But breathing feels fine. Legs feel fine. I'm fine. This kilometre is fine. That's been my motto the entire race, really. But it was really easy to kind of like know that the next five after that I wanted to do at 5:09 pace, and to start getting concerned about increasing that pace before it actually happened. So I kept having to sort of bring myself back to where I was, and basically my strategy was right at the end of one section I would have a gel which would then sort of give me a boost to then kind of like pick up the pace in the next section, and I'd bank a few seconds here and there so that when I wanted to go in and get water, I wasn't then having to like chase the time to catch up, because I hate chasing time. I'd rather be just that little bit ahead of time. So that was sort of my strategy going in. And like the first six, even though I felt pretty focused and I felt pretty good, I was thinking, this isn't going to happen. You know, like, I'm going to get to the next section and it's going to be too hard. It's going to feel too hard. And I just had to keep bringing my focus back. And then I got to the next section of my run in between about, you know, sort of, you know, 6 to 12 or 13, which traditionally is the hard part of the run for me, the middle. Middle is always the hard part. But I just found another gear. I got into my rhythm and it started to feel, I wouldn't say easy, but it started to feel very achievable. I didn't feel like I was going too fast. I didn't feel like I was fatiguing at all. I felt really good, and there were loads of places in that sort of section where I was just enjoying myself, having a look around, you know, like smiling on the course, and I'm just having a great time generally. And there was a point, which is actually where, like, one of the photographers, where it's, like, on one of the bridge, where it's, I think it's the last little bit of uphill that you get before it's all, like, pretty much flat from that. I mean, it's all flat, really. But there is a slight incline up the bridge. And I passed the 150 pacer with, like, I guess it was about 7 kilometres to go. And I just had that moment where I was like, this, the rest of this race is a foregone conclusion. Like, I'm going to get to underneath 149 and there is nothing, because I was not fatigued at all, there is nothing that is going to stop that from happening. It is just going to happen. And that's sort of what happens for me in races. I don't get emotional at the end. I get emotional when I realize it's what I'm aiming for is going to happen. And so I got quite emotional at that point, and just sort of pulled it together, because I knew I was going to see Nikki at about 16 kilometers, because I knew where she was going to be. So I just kept running, and then I got to about, you know, sort of 5Ks out, and I was very comfortably under 5 minute pace, and I was just like, yep, this is going to happen, so let's just see how fast we can go for this last section. And that's what I did, and I basically then held a sort of like around 440, 445 pace until the end, didn't fatigue, finished strong. At that, I was heading into the shoot, because of the way I'd set my watch up, I didn't know, like, I knew I was under 149, but I didn't know really like where I was at, and somebody yelled out like 146, and there's like probably about, you know, like maybe 400 meters in the shoot, maybe it's a bit less, and I was like, man, I gotta go. So I ran as fast as I could to the end, and I finished in 146 and 29 seconds, which I just guess just goes to show you the power of putting out like your goals, or like saying them out loud, because I think that that really helped to sort of keep me going during the race. But it's really interesting, because compared to the last time I'd run that PB in the Gold Coast, it didn't feel as hard. I felt a lot better. I didn't feel uncomfortable or like I was really having to fight against my body. I really felt like I was being served very well by my body on the day. And when I finished, I didn't feel totally wrecked. And in the past, when I've had really hard like racing efforts, I've almost then gotten a bit sort of gun shy afterwards, and I've been like, oh, I don't want to do that again. Whereas I didn't have that with this. Like, it just felt really, really good, which I guess is the benefit of, you know, like being just better conditioned and having run for more years, and, you know, and just really sort of having the discipline to trust the negative split sort of strategy, which had worked so well when I'd done my half marathon run around home. But it's scary, because it's like you are at the beginning part, which is always going to feel a bit rough, and you are going the slowest that you're going to go, and it feels like ass, and you're like, how am I ever going to get faster? And so it does take a lot of discipline to go, no, this is what my strategy is, and I'm going to stick to it, and I will speed up, and it will happen, and it will be fine. So to be able to kind of like trust in what I was doing enough to go, this is how I'm going to strategize this race, to the point that I got to the, like in the last 5Ks, I set a new 5K PB, because that's how much I had left in the tank at that point. Whereas if I'd gone out too fast, that would not have happened at all. So it was, you know, I haven't actually counted recently how many half marathons I've run, but it's in the vicinity of, I think, about 15. And out of 15, I've had maybe one or two that was close to perfect, and that was one of them. So I'm super grateful for that, but I'm also not expecting it to happen again anytime soon, because more often than not, there will be something in an event like that that doesn't go according to plan or goes pear-shaped, and you just have to kind of like roll with it on the day and just see what happens. So this week of school holidays has really been perfectly timed, because it's a recovery week for me. And so ordinarily I'd be trying to sort of squeeze in a few things around the kids, but this week I don't have to, which has been nice. So there's been plenty of sleeping in, which is always nice. There have been no school lunches, which is also very nice. And they're in their first week, which is always like the fun week, because they don't want to kill one another yet. That won't happen until next week. So next week will be interesting. But for now, it's been very good. Anyway, that's it from me this week. I will be back next week. And in the meantime, if you would like anything talked about on the podcast, or if there's anything that you, any questions you'd like me to answer, just drop me a line in the community group or send me an email, and I will chat to you next week. Bye.